This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Jesus said, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Philippians, the first and third chapters. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, say, return, O children of man. For a thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we make it a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servant. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th and 6th chapters. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we prepare to face death, we know that we can with certain hope. For we know that Jesus has destroyed the power of death. We know that Jesus is the Lord of life and the master of death. We know that Jesus has made safe for us the judgment. And we know that he has gone through death before us, his own death being an atoning sacrifice for you and me. So, knowing that, let not your heart be troubled. Beyond the things just mentioned, remember this as well, that Jesus has prepared for you far better. As we pick up with our second of the readings today from John chapter 14, we begin at the first verse. Some of you might know that that collection beginning with chapter 13 running all the way through chapter 16, 17 is all the Lord Jesus' discourse. Some call it his farewell discourse in the upper room, some of which is not contained in any of the other gospel writers, and yet John collects all of that. In John chapter 13, recall we started at John chapter 14, the first verses. In John chapter 13, the Lord has already told his disciples, or we could even say foretold his disciples, of his betrayal, that one of them there that night would in fact betray him. Again, in the same chapter, John chapter 13, before 14, Jesus says that Peter would deny even knowing Jesus. And in the same chapter already, the Lord Jesus has told his disciples, his apostles there too, that he would be with them only a little longer. And where I am going, to the cross, to atone for sins of all people, of all places, of all time, where I am going, you cannot go, he says. So you can imagine how their hearts may well have been troubled by that point, having been told all of this already. What troubles your heart? I suppose it's sort of a penetrating question, but really, what does? What troubles your heart? Is it how swift to its close ebbs out life's little day? The fact that you just can't hold on to things like you'd like to hold on to things. The 70 years that we sang of in the psalm, or if by reason of strength, 80 or even a few more than that, how quickly they fly by. And the things of the various periods of your life you just can't hold on to, and the next day comes, and the next week comes, and then the next month, and the next year, and the next decade, and it flies by. What troubles your heart? Is it how earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away? Once great athletes, great no longer, but using a cane or bound to a wheelchair or even a bed. Once great institutions, not great any longer. They've become corrupt with greed or injustice of one kind or another. Once great nations, tottering on the brink. Earth's glories, whatever they might be, personal, individual, grand, collective, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. What troubles your heart? Is it how change and decay in all around I see? In the people I love, they're just not what they used to be. Physically, mentally, intellectually. The things that we've loved and enjoyed in this life, change and decay. In all around I see the things, the people that I have, that I love, they go the way of the world. What troubles your heart? Regrets? temptations, illnesses of body, of mind. This world is, as the scripture tells us, passing away. And mind you, this life does not consist in squeezing every ounce of pleasure out of it, out of our time here before it's done. That is not the purpose of life, not indeed the purpose of the Christian life. No, the world is passing away and I am but a stranger here. This is not my home. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners on our way. Jesus comforts the troubled heart here in our reading today with vistas, with celestial vistas and with promises. These promises are certain to those who believe in him. They're open and available to all. He hasn't hidden them. They're for all people to hear. They're assured to all of those who believe in him. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms, celestial vistas and promises. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Many rooms in the Father's house. It's a great thought. It's a great word. It's a great promise. Rooms, namely, think of them as permanent dwelling places. Many rooms in the Father's house. Whether he intends to or not, he hearkens back, it seems, to that most beloved of Psalms, Psalm 23, in the very end of it, where we say and sing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Seems that he hearkens back to this psalm. In my Father's house are many rooms. I do like what one writer has said about this. He said all the tenderness and the attractiveness, the restfulness and the happiness that lie in the word home are thus in the loftiest degree applied to heaven. With only a stroke or two, he says, Jesus draws a picture which fills us pilgrims who are still in a way far from home, fills us pilgrims with both heavenly homesickness and the sure hope of soon reaching our home. That's well said. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And then he continues, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, you may be also. The Lord has said something similar in one of Paul's letters to the Christians at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians. When the Apostle Paul explains how it will be on that day, that last and great day for Christians. And after describing it, he says, and thus we shall be forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Reminds me a bit of that Old Testament account of Joseph. When he was in time revealed to his brothers, and he found that his father, Israel, was still alive, Jacob was still alive, he bid his brothers go. Go and get my father and get your families and come and be here with me and I make a home for you here. And he supplies there for his brothers. It reminds me of that, doesn't it, when you hear Jesus say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. What will it be? What will it be? Well, I certainly can't answer that question in the fullness that most of us would like that question answered. The Holy Scripture does give us quite a glimpse, though, doesn't it? But it's only a glimpse.
Certainly the Lord God knows how much that we need, and he supplied that much in the Holy Scripture. He's given us enough, but it is finally only a glimpse. It's rather like in the Old Testament, when the spies went on ahead and looked around at the land of Canaan, the promised land, and they returned with this fruit. I think they were grapes, large grapes. Look at this glimpse of this land that God has promised to us. Behold it. And the scripture contains these glimpses as well. And from these various glimpses that God has given to us, we even heard one last week when Jesus said to the malefactor on the cross, the one who trusted in him and who called upon him, and therefore finally was not put to shame, he says, truly, today you will be with me, and Jesus calls it in paradise. And so we get these glimpses, and from these glimpses we gather this, that the blessings that you and I will know are of various kinds. On the one hand, they're of the what's called the privative kind, as classically theologians have put it, and on the other hand, they're of the positive kind. The privative kind are those blessings we will have and enjoy because we will be without something that currently now we struggle with or contend with. There will be in that day no more sin. Can you imagine? No more sin. No more sin or its causes, as one has put it, the flesh inciting causes of sin, the devil suggesting causes of sin, the world seducing causes of sin. No longer. No more will there be regret or loneliness or punishments over sin. No longer will there be pain or discomforts or frustrations. Can you imagine? No longer will there be injustices of any kind. No longer will there be tragedies or calamities or the hard news. No longer will there be terrors or fears or doubts. No more sicknesses. No more fevers, no more coughs, no more death. Can you imagine? It's also beautifully summed up by the writer of Revelation, as he puts it this way: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Don't know if you caught it as we sang it, but those privative blessings are listed quite nicely, or at least pictured in that third stanza of the hymn that we just sang. There, God shall from all evil forever make us free, from sin and from the devil, from all adversity, from sickness, pain, and sadness, from troubles, cares, and fears, and grant us heavenly gladness, and wipe away our tears. But beyond those privative blessings that we'll enjoy, there are the positive ones too, the things that we'll have, and so by that we'll be blessed. We will have the beatific vision of God. We will have perfected intellect and a perfect will that always accords and never conflicts with God's will. No more inner struggle. We will have the highest and soundest security, complete contentment, the fullest joy, the fullest peace, the fullest love. We will have fullness of vigor of the body at the resurrection. And we will have communion with all of the saints, all of the blessed ones gone before us, and now all together, all of the angels and all the saints gone before, gone when you would go, gone after us when we would go. And with the angels, we will have their communion with God himself. And so the second stanza lists in part those positive blessings. There shall we see in glory our dear Redeemer's face. The long-awaited story of heavenly joy takes place. The patriarchs shall meet us, the prophets' holy band. Apostles, martyrs greet us in that celestial land. How do we sum all of it up? I suppose like Paul did when he simply called it far better. My desire, he said, is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Far better than living on here below. Far better. I think most all of you know that not very many days ago, our brother in Christ, Dick Williams, was called to eternal rest and glory. And his now widow, Jan, told us that his very last words right before he died and was taken to heaven were the words, "I want my new body." And having said that, he died. Dick held the promise to the very end of his life here below that you and I hold. He held the promise that at the resurrection, these bodies of ours, these very bodies, will be glorified, made spiritual. We could draw from so many of the passages in the scripture that give to us this promise or reaffirm to us this promise. We could even go to the Old Testament and find this promise. Certainly we can find it in the New Testament, but we need only look at the readings that we have for the day and find it there as well. Paul says, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead," the glorious resurrection. Paul held that hope, as you and I hold that hope, as Dick Williams held that hope. Paul would go on to say, "Our Savior Christ Jesus will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Instruction by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, and the certain hope of a beleaguered man." But of course, Jesus expressed it as well. He said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." My friends, it was, I think, Johann Gerhardt who said, "The doctrine concerning the heaven of the blessed and eternal life, what here today we've called simply far better," Gerhardt says, "this is set forth in Holy Scripture, not that we may idly dispute as theorists concerning the locality of heaven, the beatific vision, the properties of the glorified bodies. No, but it's given so that as practical men, considering the promised joys of eternal life every day, every hour, indeed every moment, we may keep closely to the way leading thereto. Carefully avoid all that could lead us astray from entrance into it." And I would add here too, it's given to us so that we may be encouraged on the way and in the face of dying, with the great hope that we have on account of Jesus Christ, that hope that we hold dear. Friends, unless the Lord Jesus returns first, you will die, and so will I. But you and I can face this bodily, temporal death with certain hope. Certain hope in him who has destroyed its power, in him who is its master, in him who has made safe the judgment, who has gone before us through death, in him who has prepared for us far better than anything we could now conceive of. You and I face death with certain hope in Jesus Christ, the living head of the living body. For us then who face death with this certain hope in Jesus Christ, it's not merely a song that we sing, it's the way we live. Lord, let at last thine angels come. To Abram's bosom bear me home that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend. My prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end.
In our prayers, the brother of Michael McThrow, Wyatt McThrow, now recovering from surgery, the family of Jan Williams, who continue to mourn the recent death in Christ of Richard Williams, as well as Carol Hack Bruman family, who now mourn the death of her father. We also remember Arthur Bai, a member of First Emmanuel Lutheran Church, who is now contending with medical challenges. We pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick, including Wyatt McThrow, and the dying. And for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord
have mercy. For Arthur Bai, for the families of Carol Hack Broom and Jan Williams, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord
have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord
have mercy. Christ have mercy.
Lord
have mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Thank you.
bless the Lord.
Thanks be
to God, the Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.